Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hey, you're back.
Hey, I am back. Thanks for keeping the fort down or holding the fort, or whatever the
not
term is.
Not sinking the ship.
Yeah.
Only kind of.
Yeah. Hold the door.
Hold the door. No. Show's namesake BJ Shea is not here. He's on assignment. He's maybe holding the door. And running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hey.
Hello. On today's show, we're going to talk with Mr. Gareth Von Kallenbach. And we will also get some reactions to some of the news that he brought up. And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjkingnation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or, you know, just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
And so let's not keep everyone waiting on this one. Let's get right in with Mr. Gareth Von Kallenbach from Skewed and Reviewed to talk about the latest news. Gareth Von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. And there are all sorts of things going down. And the big one right now is the fact that the Batgirl movie, $90 million movie, that's not even including marketing and the such, is going away, apparently. It's just not going to happen at this point in time.
Yeah, it's, you know, at first it was a bit of a shock because when you invest that kind of money, you at least try to recoup some part of it.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you how Discovery, now that they're merged with Warner Brothers, how they're doing things. We've heard a lot of stories about how they went in and literally were swinging the axe at projects they thought don't need to happen. People forget that they had announced a Wonder Twins movie, and the moment Discovery came in, they said, no, that's not going to happen. And, you know, we've heard this for a while, but one of their goals is they see what Marvel is doing with under Kevin Feige and this kind of unified thing. And the assumption is that Warner is kind of going piece by piece. You know, the example of Michael Keaton is had returned for The Flash. Michael Keaton was apparently in the new Batgirl film. And then we've already heard that Robert Pattinson's The Batman is getting a sequel with him returning. But then now you start to hear, Affleck's back as Batman in Aquaman 2. So you can see it's like, boy, this seems kind of like a jumbled mess of everyone doing their own thing. And, you know, I think what they're trying to do is have a more cohesive thing. Viacom has said that their goal is to make the DC films big event films. And they essentially felt that Batgirl not only was not meeting this objective, but potentially could harm the brand. And whoa, the funny thing was, it started off as a streamer only. It was going to be on HBO Max. And then they said, you know what, let's put this in the theaters and HBO Max. And apparently there was a little more money put into it. Well, I've heard in the last day or so, apparently the test screenings were absolute disasters. And they just said, this is not salvageable. I mean, we're not going to throw any more money at it. If we put it out as it is, it could damage the brand. It's best just to cut bait and get it, just never let it happen. Because, you know, usually, as we know, streamers are so edgy for content. It's like, well, we've already paid for it. Let's just put it out there. And if it's great, you know, whatever. And apparently they felt it was just potentially so damaging to the brand that it can't see the light of day. And it's funny because the closest I could compare this to, I mean, someone said, well, it's like Nick Cage's Superman, where he wasn't going to fly in the black outfit and all that. And I said, yeah, but that never really got to this point of production. The closest I could think of is people forget this with the, you know, the Orville now. Adrian Palicki was going to be Wonder Woman before Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
And they filmed
Well, yeah, and you're talking about, like you were about to say that they filmed the pilot, and I know it had gone pretty far in that aspect.
Right, and the funny thing was I talked to people who've seen the pilot, and they said it wasn't bad. There was potential. But as I remember, one of the big issues is they put out a picture of her in the costume, and everyone said, oh, she's wearing pants. I don't like this.
I mean,
it's funny how it's just something that it's like she has lots of costumes, folks, you know, but it's all based on buzz. And it's like, yeah, I don't know if we want to do this. And that was what they heard.
It seems so boggling to me also at this point in time, because like I mean, $90 million into it, you look at something that maybe the first reactions aren't going to be good, but we saw people literally freak out about Sonic the Hedgehog and how they screwed that up, and they went back and fixed it, and it was such a good movie that it turned out into another sequel, and they've made tons of money off of that. It just, it feels so strange to me. I don't care about mergers or anything along those lines, that when you've got a $90 million project and there's no way that you can salvage anything from that, they've taken movies and put in new directors after they've shot almost the entire thing and still put it out at some point. Just to say no, cut, bait, and run is one of those things that it just, to me, it feels like the DC extended universe, however which way you want to call it, hasn't been cohesive in such a long time that nobody knows exactly what they want with it, other than, I guess, The Rock, who's now calling it Black Adam's DCEU at this point in time. Like, it just feels nobody knows what the hell's happening.
Exactly, and I think that's what they're trying to stop, because, you know, the other side sitting here going, we've got the next 10 years already planned out.
Mm-hmm.
Television and film. And, you know, sure, some have been better than others, but, you know, people always point to the Eternals and say, oh, this was the big misstep. Well, look how much money the Eternals made, even in a pandemic. So,
yeah, and I mean, figure. To be honest, it really wasn't that bad of a movie. And people are forgetting just how, you know, hit or miss a lot of those early phase movies with the whole Infinity Saga. So that's not going to be too much of an issue on that. I just kind of hope that DC kind of figures themselves out. But we do need to move on and move towards something that dropped during San Diego Comic-Con was the trailer for Andor. And we got some more information about it, right?
Yeah, which was not, to me, totally unexpected. Mm. And it was the other day we got a brand new trailer, and it looks really good, as expected. We know that it's going to run for multiple seasons, although there is going to be a time jump. You know, so the story covers five seasons, but it wouldn't be uncommon for one season to cover a few years and that sort of thing. What was really interesting about it was they pushed it back until September 23rd. It was going to run at the end of August, but now it's going to debut with a 3-episode premiere. And, you know, I look at that and I said, I'm not shocked over this. Like, when I looked at it and I saw the date that they had in mind, I said, I don't see that staying, simply because it has been a pretty well-known thing that Disney's mandate was that they wanted to always have fresh Marvel and fresh Star Wars content weekly, or as close to it as they could, on the show. So the idea would be you start a Marvel series, it runs a new episode each week. When it ends a week or two later, you start a new Star Wars series, same thing. And with She-Hulk coming, I looked at it and said, these two are going to overlap. And I don't see them doing that. And so to me, it was like, naturally, I always assumed that they would wait until She-Hulk was done before Andor did. I had someone come out and say, oh, they're going to put it right next with season two of The Bad Batch. And I said, no, don't count on that. I would expect, like anything else, they're going to wait until these things finish their run, and then you bring the next thing out, because that's the whole point. It's all about keeping your subscribers and driving new subscriptions. If you give everyone all at once, there's no incentive, or less incentive for some, to continue to stay on. And that's the whole point, is to be able to say, you know, this is your 6 to 8 weeks here. This is your next one. This is your next one.
It'll be interesting to see how that all kind of pans out in that sort of aspect, too, just in terms of wanting to have all of these. And do you feel that even like even if they don't layer them and they don't end up running together, it seems that Disney's really pushing that whole Marvel Star Wars thing. Do you see people getting a little bit of a burnout and maybe people not having as much interest in a show, something like Andor or even any sort of Star Wars or Marvel project going forward?
You know, that is always the danger, but so far it hasn't happened. And the key is that you want to keep it fresh and you want to keep it different. I mean, you look at She-Hulk. What was the big buzz? We don't like the CGI in it. Well, so apparently the newer trailers have come out and people have said, okay, I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been very adamant. We've heard at San Diego Comic-Con, these the new, you know, we've got another animated series of What If coming. We've got more live action shows coming. And then we've got more movies coming. And so, you know, that's the thing. You keep hearing these people say, the bubble's going to burst, the bubble's going to burst. Well, you know, here we are, what, 12 years in and the bubble hasn't burst. People are still, you know, I keep thinking back of Comic Book Guy and that whole Cosmic Wars thing about worst Cosmic Wars ever. I'm only going to see it 5 more times today. And then he gets right back in line. It's like, you know, the Call of Duty thing about all these people complaining. And yet you see the sales numbers and they're like, I had to buy it to see how bad it was.
I'm like, no, you didn't actually. But I mean, here you are. And I mean, even just as we're talking about Marvel right now, we've seen, I mean, literally they laid out the entire phase structure out at San Diego Comic-Con. But that doesn't mean that they're not still going to be showing some more stuff over at D23 either.
Correct. So on the week of September 9th through 11th, we have the D23 Expo. And Marvel has come out and already said, you know, this is kind of the stuff that we have. There's various panels, various segments, but of course all eyes are going to be on the Saturday panel, and this is the big showcase one where they come out, and it's usually what's coming from all aspects of Disney over the next couple of years. I mean, this is the one where The Rock came out aboard a replica of the Jungle Cruise to announce the movie. This is where I remember the first one we ever covered, most of the cast of the Avengers came out on stage and dropped one of the first looks at the film. While they were still filming it, this, you know, Chris Evans has come out and showed us, hey, this is a scene we just filmed last week for Captain America Winter Soldier. So there's big news. And the fact that, you know, you're going to get the Disney films, you're going to get the animation Pixar, you're going to get Star Wars. We've already been told that. And they've said Marvel's coming out. And of course, you know, that's the question. It's, well, what are we going to get? And people were saying there were things in the schedule that they didn't lock in. And you know, at their own show, they're going to have a big surprise, because that was always the big debate. Are they going to have much of anything at Comic-Con if they're doing their own thing? And so, obviously, speculations run wild. The most common belief would be we might get newer looks at things, we might get deeper looks, but we also might get first looks and some announcements. And of course, you know, the big one that everyone keeps asking is, okay, when are we going to get Deadpool? Where is Deadpool going to show up? Mm-hmm. We know that supposedly a script is in the works. There was reference to it the other day. I've heard rumors that he may pop up in a different show as kind of his introduction into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But the point is, you have things like that. And this would be exactly the kind of place, not saying it's going to happen, but this is exactly the kind of thing where all of a sudden Ryan could come walking right out on stage in full costume and, you know, the place would go nuts. So that's the big question. We just got word the other day. I mean, we kind of expected it, but we got the formal word that they were coming, and it's like, what are they going to show for us?
And it'll, I mean, seriously, like, I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with that. I got kind of like, we were talking about She-Hulk, and I went back and watched the trailer, you know, for science purposes. And I was looking at one of the characters, and I got really excited because I thought the guy who now is basically stated as Frogman, I thought he kind of looked like Bob, Agent of Hydra, who was a Deadpool guy. And just the fact that She-Hulk does break the fourth wall, and it has been shown in the latest trailer that she does do that, that I was just like, oh man, this would be the perfect spot just to have a little bit of a Deadpool cameo. But then it turned out to be Frogman, so I don't even know what the hell's going on anymore. But that would still be a fun spot to see him, you know?
Absolutely, and that has been a rumor that's gone around that maybe he might pop up in one of the shows or something like that. And, you know, people forget there was that, and it's all under the same umbrella, but let's not forget when Free Guy dropped its trailer, Deadpool and Korg sat there and gave their honest opinion, their Mystery Science Theater
right?
version of the trailer. So you can see they're already working them in. And, I remember that whole thing about right after the merger completed, there was the thing about him getting arrested at Disneyland or something like that. And, you know, you can see that this isn't him just off doing it on his own. You know he's getting permission. So it's kind of we know it's there, you know it's there, we're just waiting for the right time to spring it on you.
Yeah, so here's hoping when it comes a little bit sooner than maybe phase 5 or 6, but we do need to move on again from that. Also, out this week is Prey, and it's available online, and you've had a chance to see it.
Absolutely. So obviously it's dropping today on Hulu for those in the U.S. and some other platforms out there, and this is the first of the Predator films to be done under the Disney ownership since they acquired Fox. And of course, you know, the interesting thing about it was, I remember when it was announced, people were, oh, it's going to be woke, it's going to be PC because it deals with a Native American girl and it's on a streaming channel, so it won't be nearly as good and stuff like that. And that's not the case. It wasn't bad at all. It's certainly much better than the Predator. I could make the argument, I know some would differ, that I liked than Predator 2, and, you know, on par, if not better than Predators. And, damn, you know, it's going to be a different thing for different people. It's, I mean, obviously from the trailer, it's set 300 years in the past amongst the Comanche Nation. Some people are going to have an issue with that. Some people might have an issue with various aspects of the storyline and stuff. I didn't have any of that. I mean, I watched it with my wife and we just really enjoyed it. We thought it was a very fresh and interesting take that still stayed true to the original concept. I mean, there are certain things, obviously 300 years in the past, certain technologies of the Predator are different. Certain aspects of the Predator are different. But, you know, the biggest thing that I had, there were a couple of scenes where some of the wildlife, shall we say, you could say, boy, that was definitely CGI'd. And I don't know whether what we had seen was not the final cut. I assumed it was. But, you know, when it came time for the Predator, when it came time for the intense action, it was there. There was some gore. There was obviously gore without being overly gratuitous. But nice. It was a pretty effective and at times brutal. But, you know, again, not gratuitously. And for all those people saying, oh, it's going to be Disney-fied, it's going to be PG-13, it was definitely a film that knows what the Predator's all about and delivered it.
That is awesome, and I'm really happy to hear about that because literally the wife and I recently just went back and watched it because she didn't grow up in the 80s watching action movies, and she had a lot of fun, and in the original Predator movies, pretty cheesy, so the fact that you kind of know what you're getting into with all of that, I think it'll still be fun. I'm really excited to see that, and I really like the fact that it is out on Hulu. Thank you so much, Gareth. Again, Gareth von Kallenbach, you can find him at sknr.net, and that is Skewed and Reviewed if you want to search on all the Googles for all the social media and all that fun stuff. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you so much, Gareth. Very excited to see Prey. I'm going to be checking out this weekend and was very surprised at just kind of what the hell is happening over there with Warner Brothers Discovery or whatever the hell they're calling themselves, because we did mention the Batgirl, the stuff that's been happening. It looks like they've also gotten rid of Gotham Knights, the TV show. Like, there was a chance for that, which was interesting because they got a video game for it as well. And that seems to be going forward. Obviously, it's not it's not with Warner Brothers Discovery. They're also getting rid of the Supergirl film. And it also looks like the Scoob sequel. So the sequel to the latest Scooby-Doo adventure.
Oh, no, Dooby-Dooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Dooby-Doo. Scooby-Dooby-Done. It's not happening. So I feel that the bloodbath is not ending here. And even as of this recording, we record on Thursdays. So as of the time you listen to this, there might be more things on the cutting room floor. I would imagine stuff like maybe like the Blue Beetle. Like anything that's not like top tier stuff at this point in time, which is not Flash or Aquaman, might not see the light of day.
And Blue Beetle, isn't that played by Donald Faison?
Faison? Yeah, from Scrubs. I think he was at the very least in it if he wasn't going to be playing Blue Beetle.
He was Booster Gold.
Yeah, Booster Gold. Exactly. Yeah. I was trying to think about that one.
One of those.
Both of those guys are pretty synonymous together. They ran together for a while. So definitely check out Skewed and Reviewed, sknr.net, to get some more information because Gareth is going to be up on all of that. But we did get some statements from the Batgirl directors about what happened, because I think this came to a surprise to everybody. They said, "We are saddened and shocked by the news. We still can't believe it. As directors, it is critical that our work be shown to audiences. And while the film was far from finished, we wish that fans all over the world would have had the opportunity to see and embrace the final film themselves. Maybe one day they will. Our amazing cast and crew did a tremendous job and worked so hard to bring Batgirl to life. We are forever grateful to have been part of that team. It was like a dream to work with such fantastic actors like Michael Keaton, J.K. Simmons, Brendan Fraser, Jacob Scopio, Corey Johnson, Rebecca Front, and especially the great Leslie Grace, who portrayed Batgirl with so much passion, dedication, and humanity. In any case, as a huge fan of Batman since we were little kids, it was a privilege and an honor to have been a part of the DCEU, even if it was for a brief moment, Batgirl for life. So, directors had no idea what was going on with this. And also, the Batgirl star Leslie Grace did react to it as well. She broke her silence about it and said, on the heels of the recent news about the movie Batgirl, I'm proud of the love, hard work, and intention of all of our incredible cast and tireless crew to put this film over 7 months in Scotland. She wrote this on Instagram, sharing a variety of behind-the-scenes photos and videos from Batgirl. I feel blessed to have worked with among absolute greats and forged relationships for a lifetime in the process. To every Batgirl fan, thank you for the love and belief, allowing me to take the cape and become, as Bab said best, my own damn hero. So,
test screenings must not have gone so well, huh?
And that's what Gareth had mentioned. And also, I read that there was only one test screening.
What?
So, I don't know. Like, is it like there's no faith in what's going on? And then I get into my own conspiracy brain when it comes down to this as well, because it's just like, is this like a Zack Snyder sort of thing or like a Choco Taco sort of thing? Because now that Choco Taco has been discontinued by Klondike, there's been such a like resurgence of people like, we want Choco Tacos. And now they're saying, oh, maybe we'll bring them back. And then finding out with like the whole Zack Snyder Justice League cut, that was all done by bots. And like that whole upswell and that whole uprising of everyone who wants the Zack Snyder cut, most of that weren't necessarily fans, but bots out there that were creating the quote-unquote hype for it. Like, I don't know what's real anymore. I don't know if they're going to be like, oh, if there's a whole bunch of people who are really into this and we see this massive upswell, they're going to make it again. And that could just be conspiracy me going out there and thinking, you know, what's going to be happening with this. But everything is suspect at this point in time. And when you have a movie that, like they, even the director said, far from finished, but they had already poured $90 million into it. Unless there's some sort of amazing tax break that they're going to get or they're going to be able to recoup a little bit of money from that, that's $90 million.
Yeah, that's odd. I wonder if it was like they literally needed maybe like 30 or 40 million more for the CGI to fix it. You know, not fix it, but finish it.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, based on these test screenings, I mean, we might not even get that back. So they were like, you know what? And, you know, you don't want to put out a bad product. They're really trying to turn their name around.
I guess, and that might be the thing, too. They just realize that there's no salvageable way. I'm so conditioned that they're going to put out a movie no matter what. When we see stuff like New Mutants come out and it just get totally panned after like 3 years of them trying to figure something out. Or just the fact that even with like Solo, they made almost the entire movie, realized it wasn't what they wanted, what Disney wanted for the vision, canned the directors and had to reshoot a whole bunch of stuff with Ron Howard. And it was, first off, I like Solo as a movie. If it didn't have the Star Wars name, I think it would have been fantastic. But it's that same thing where there's like a sunk cost fallacy that you need to put it out there. And maybe you're right. Maybe they just realized too much work, not enough return. And maybe it's even something along the lines of like a Morbius thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Morbius canned so bad. And then there was a whole groundswell of people like, oh, it's Morbin time. We're going to do some memes. So they put it out back into the theaters and it made nothing.
Yeah.
Again, like they were like, oh, we'll make a little bit more money. And they made like a couple $100,000 off of it. And they're like, no, this ain't going to work. Maybe it's just they've realized that they've got to have really good product because people are maybe getting burned out on comic book movies and they're not going to want to see this stuff and have no faith in DC movies really at this point.
And it wouldn't surprise me if they're a little bit more cautious around the Batman, you know, esque name too, because it is Batgirl and she is kind of in that same universe.
Yeah.
And Batman is their literal only property that seems to be able to make money Sony.
Yeah.
The movie universe. So.
And I mean, we've seen stuff that Ben Affleck's Batman is now going to be in Aquaman 2 when he wasn't supposed to be. And so I feel like there's a lot of rewriting stuff because it was supposed to be like, rumor had it, like Michael Keaton's Batman was going to be the Batman moving forward in the DCEU. And they were going to have the younger Bat people be the ones to kind of take up that mantle.
What happened over there, man?
I don't know.
A lot of pot, a lot of cocaine, a lot of bad decisions.
That's gonna be a great idea.
And they haven't even done another Superman because they won't play Henry Cavill.
Yeah, which is so weird. And they don't know what to do with it. Like they really don't. So
$90 million to flush down the drain, and you can't find 15 for Henry.
If you've got a conspiracy theory, let me hear it because I love this sort of thing.
It's funny because I literally just scrolled by one of those fake comic book characters texting each other.
Yeah.
And it was Deadpool talking to Batgirl. It's like, oh, sorry to hear about your movie. It's like, yeah. It's like, you know, my movie only got greenlit after footage got, you know, he's putting all these emojis winking, got leaked, you know. It would be a shame if that happened to you. She's like, I get it.
Leak the Batgirl.
Yeah, he kept doing that. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens.
We'll have to see how that plays out. But for now, we need to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
What do you got for us, Vicky?
Movers!
Oh, yes, Friday!
I'm excited. This is a movie I saw the trailer for in theaters, and it made me really want to go see it because it just looked like all kinds of shenanigans, like all-star cast. Unfortunately, it's not getting well reviewed at the moment.
Oh, no. Which one?
Bullet Train.
Oh, no. This is the Brad Pitt one. That one looks great.
Seeing this tomorrow.
I'm hoping this is one of those movies that the critics don't like because they're snooty and it's just going to be a fun movie. So I'm holding out for it. It's 55% as of the moment of this recording.
No. That's not the worst ever. 55% is rotten.
128 reviews.
Oh, okay. So everyone.
But there's no audience score yet, so you never know.
Well, and that just means they're holding out and they're waiting to see. I mean, when it comes out. So, all right. Maybe there wasn't a whole bunch of screeners on it. It looks fun. It looks ridiculous.
I mean, maybe
that's the problem.
Brad Pitt, Joey King, Aaron Taylor Thomas, Brian Tyree Henry, who I believe was in The Eternals. I could be wrong. Hiroyuki Sanada, Michael Shannon, Bad Bunny, who is also going to be a wrestler in the Marvel Universe at some point.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock, Zazie Beetz, which we remember her in Joker and Deadpool.
Yeah. She was a Domino.
Yep. Masioka, which you might remember from, you know, the original Heroes before it went downhill.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He was the Hello, New York, or something like that.
Hiro Nakamura.
Yes. Karen... Fukuhara, who we might know in The Boys as the female.
As the female.
She just does not seem like her name would be Karen. That's why it throws me off. But like it's an all-star cast. It looks like all kinds of shenanigans. They're on a bullet train. It's Brad Pitt stars as Ladybug, an unlucky assassin determined to do his job peacefully after one too many gigs has gone off the rails. Fate, however, may have other plans as Ladybug's latest mission puts him on the collision course with
Ladybug.
I know. With lethal adversaries from around the globe.
Yeah.
All with connected yet conflicting objectives on the world's fastest train. And this is actually the director of Deadpool, so that makes a lot of sense.
Wow. All right.
And the end of the line is only the beginning in a wild, nonstop thrill ride through modern-day Japan.
See, I still want to watch this. So, Joe,
same.
You're going to watch it this weekend.
Yes.
You'll have to let me know how it goes.
I'm optimistic. I didn't go in thinking this was going to be a blow-you-away script. I mostly just wanted to watch Brad Pitt fight on a train for an hour and a half.
Right?
And like a lot of other cool actors, too. Bad Bunny looks pretty badass. Like, I didn't really know anything about Bad Bunny until the news came out that he was going to be doing a Marvel character. And I started looking more into him, and he looks like, hey, he's kind of a beast. He's doing pretty good.
He's been in a couple things that I've seen. I just can't recall it, but yeah. Right.
I don't know if it was a voice thing or something, but I feel like, you know, if he keeps doing this kind of thing, he's gonna be going pretty far.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think you're thinking of Fast 9, the Fast Saga. He was in that My Spy movie with Dave Bautista.
Oh, really? Okay. And I know that he has...
Narcos.
Oh, yeah, Narcos. And then also I know that he's done stuff with the WWE, which a lot of wrestling stuff ends up on my TikTok. So I have no idea why, but, you know, hey.
Like I said, I'm still holding out hope for that one. Another one, this one is already certified fresh. It only has 46 reviews, but it's like 96%. Boom.
Whoa.
It is called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And I've been getting ads for this, like, when I watch YouTube videos and stuff. And it seems pretty interesting. I feel like this is going to be, like, one of the more, like, when I think of, like, 90s or even 2000s, like, teen horror movie, maybe, like, a Scream or something, I think this is the teen horror movie of this generation, of this, like, the 20-teens.
Yeah.
Or the 2020s, excuse me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and it looks like even Pete Davidson's in this one. Wow. Interesting.
Lee Pace is also in this. This looks like a big, like a handful of like up-and-coming young actors.
Mm-hmm.
It's when a group of rich 20-somethings plan a hurricane party at a remote family mansion, a party game goes awry, and this fresh and funny look at backstabbing fake friends and one party gone very, very wrong.
And
it kind of seems like Scream, like who's the killer, just based on the trailers.
And that's also a good kind of thing, too. They're talking about like a hurricane party. It's like, what's the easiest way to get rid of something like power and cell service is to stick it right in the middle of a potential upcoming disaster. So I think that is a good way to kind of deal with modern technology in a horror movie as well. So I'm interested in this one now.
Like I said, 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
If anybody does see this, let me know how scary, quote unquote, it is, because I'm actually interested. This is, like, I like the plot.
Yeah.
And then one other one, I don't know if it's an American movie, because I don't, like, I mean, I guess it is. Like, the only actor I really know is Michael Ironside in this, but everyone else is pretty, you know, don't really know much about it. It's getting 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. However, it's only got 9 reviews.
Oh, okay.
It's a horror, sci-fi, mystery thriller, and it's cold, pale, and in the dark. Fret, played by actress Anna Hopkins, crashes back to consciousness inside a small metal chamber. The movie's called Tin Can, by the way.
Oh, okay. I was like,
yeah, I'm like, wait, I forgot something. Yes. But inside her confined cell, Fret attempts to piece together how she was in prison. As a scientist who was on the brink of discovering a cure from a deadly plague, Fret desperately works to escape her cell to save the last of humanity. Dun, dun, dun.
Not the last of humanity.
Interesting. Yeah, because I look it up and it looks like it was filmed in 2020.
Okay.
So maybe it was just one of those delays and now they're putting it out?
I mean, it's probably delayed based on the plot.
Yeah.
Deadly plague. Yeah, be a smart idea. Gonna push that back.
Yeah, maybe I don't need to watch that. I don't know about that one.
And it looks like she was a guest star on like Arrow and like Dark Matter, Defiance, like Lost Girl, like all those kind of movies, and yeah, she hasn't been in a whole lot of stuff.
All right, fair, yeah.
But if you like the horror genre, there is that for you.
And I mean, at this point in time, also like Gareth had talked about, if you want to stay at home, you can watch Prey on Hulu, which I think I'm going to try to do, and get back into that whole Predator world and see how they deal with it 300 years in the past.
And until next time, guys, stay nerdy.